from Florence.
Amber.
If there's time left over, let's give a big round of applause. Yeah. If there's time left over, we'll have questions. Or time for questions and shares, right?
I don't know. I've never done one.
Yeah, that's what they told me to do. Yeah. Just try to stretch it out. So, I'm just kidding.
He said I only had to speak for like 15 seconds.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm Amber and I'm an addict.
Hey, Amber.
Hey, this is my first workshop, so I really wanted Brian to go first, but he kind of didn't. So, for me, whenever I first got into recovery, I had several sponsors, and they say it's a two-way street, but I didn't do my part at all, so... Of course, you know, I did my first step, but I never wanted to go over it. I was too embarrassed. I didn't have a connection with her at all. So, you know, then I quit going to meetings, and then I relapsed. Then when I came back, my sponsor was chairing a meeting, and she used to do this thing where you had to get up and hug everybody. And I really wasn't, you know, I didn't want anybody to touch me, of course, but... I always enjoyed going to her meetings because, you know, it started opening that, you know, that door for me to, you know, start moving around and whatnot. She told me when after I hit, like, step six, I could start sponsoring. And I was not really keen on that, but I went ahead and, you know, I took my sponsor's suggestion, and that's what I did. I had about a year clean, and so I got two girls that were I was locked up with for quite a while. The first one, she did pretty good, but the second girl, she ended up relapsing and went to jail, and she died on the floor. So then I was just done with that. I didn't want to sponsor because I felt like I did something wrong. I wasn't there for her. But that's... you know, it's just like whenever I relapsed, it is a two-way street. It was something I needed to do, just like something she needed to do. You know, you got to pick up the phone before you use. So I talked to my sponsor about it, and she said, you know, you can't save them. You got to only save yourself. So I continued to sponsor. At one point, I had 9. I felt like it was a bit much with being a single mom. With 9 sponsees, it just got a little overwhelming. I called my sponsor and said, I just don't want to do this anymore. She says, you just got to ride the wave. You know, there's points where you'll have several, and there will be some points where you'll only have a couple. I sponsor a lot from the Lotus Recovery House. It's kind of convenient. It's right down the street from me. They're always at the meetings. I've never sponsored at that time anybody that was long distance. So then, you know, they eventually graduate and they move on, go back home, or they just instantly go back out. So I forgot one that, and we have a long distance relationship, and she'll be at this convention. It's like exciting because I haven't seen her in a little bit. We still work the steps. We finished those, so we're going to do them again. I mean, we were trying to get into the traditions, but, you know, I've never worked them, so I felt, well, my sponsor's not working them, so I don't have to work them. So I started building this resentment against my sponsor because I want to do stuff that she wasn't doing, and I didn't really know about how to go about this. And so, and my first opinion is I'm gonna fire her. You know, I don't feel like I'm getting anything from it. But you know, I wasn't reaching out to her. Somebody pointed out in a meeting, you know, it's a two-way street. So I laid there and I asked my higher power if this is the way, you know, should I should I let her go and find somebody else here at this convention, or do I need to stay with my sponsor? And as soon as I was done praying, she texted me and told me she loved me. So, I mean, you have to, you know, use what you have. I think God puts, or your higher power puts people in your life for a reason. I love sponsorship. I believe I like being a sponsor more than I like being a sponsee. She does. She's been through thick and thin, through divorce, getting my children back. If she doesn't have experience, strength, and hope, she's quick to give me somebody's number that has that. It's our network that I think is the best. I'm sorry, Brian, but you have a long time to go. Damn it, man. I'm new in recovery. I only have 4 years clean. You know, I don't have a lot of experience, strength, and hope. It's not only 4 years clean. I have 4 years clean. Pardon me. I feel like if you get lazy and stagnant with your sponsor, that's when you really need to pick up the phone and work even harder. It is the backbone to your recovery. If you let that go, you let your recovery go. I love my sponsor. I hope my sponsees love me as much as I love them. I'm quick to pick up the phone. I'm not as quick to pick up the phone and call mine as mine do for me. So I should, you know, lead by example. They show me a lot. I'm sorry, Brian. You wanted me to go first. It'll get better as I get, you know, more clean time and I grow in my recovery. But I'm sorry, Brian.
You got 45 minutes.
Thank you, Amber. That was good. Brian M., are you ready?
I'm Brian, I'm an addict. Well, sponsorship. Y'all, we got this orange IP number 11 on sponsorship. I hear a lot of times that you can just pick it up and read it, and it'll tell you all about sponsorship. What I think about learning about sponsorship is just ask somebody to be your sponsor. I mean, hell, you can always fire their ass. Yeah. It's just the quickest way for me to learn. I mean, I didn't have, we didn't have that IP whenever I got clean at Tupelo to look at. So I just heard everybody in the meeting say, get your sponsor, get a sponsor, get a sponsor. And after I'd been there about a month, I asked somebody to be my sponsor. And the only reason I asked him, this person, is because he had more clean time than anybody else in the room. And I felt like I was that fucked up. And he basically turned me down. He said, tell you what, you can call me anytime you want, but I think the most important thing for you to do is make meetings. Make as many meetings as you can honestly make. And that was probably the best advice that I'd ever gotten, because I took that as a challenge. You know, I felt like if he saw me at every meeting, then maybe he would say, well, this guy's willing to put forth an effort, so maybe I'll sponsor him. So I did. I went to every meeting that they had, and hell, I lived 1 hour and 5 minutes from this meeting hall. And worked 1 hour from this meeting hall. I had that triangle that I made every day. I'd get up every morning, I'd drive 1 hour and 5 minutes to work. I'd get off work, drive 1 hour to the meeting, and I'd drive 1 hour and 5 minutes back to the house. That was my triangle every day. But I made every single meeting that I could honestly make. And eventually he took me to a, well, let me say this first. I got 59 days clean. He said, come on, I want you to chair this meeting with me. And I mean, nobody was sitting in the chair, so he just picked me up, drug me to the front up there, and he set me down in the chairperson's seat, and he sat down beside me, and he poured out all the paperwork, and he said, here, just read this. And we went through chairing a meeting there. Basically, I chaired the meeting with him sitting right there beside me, showing me how to do it, you know, basically holding my hand, because, you know, there's no way in hell I was going to do that. But how can I say no to Let's Go do this rather than you go chair. If it said you go chair that meeting, I said, fuck you. I'm not doing that. I don't know anything about it. But just the simple fact that he led me, you know, and he was willing to do it with me, changed everything. There wasn't but a few days after that, he asked me if I'd go one Saturday. He said, look, I want you to meet me here Saturday at, I don't forget what time it was. He said, but I want you to go to Boonville with me and meet the people and see the first meeting that I ever chaired 25 years ago. Oh, what am I going to say? No. And if he had said, you know, you need to go to some outside meetings, you know, go somewhere else or something, I never would have done that. But the simple fact that he said, come on, go with me. I want to show you something. Let's go see. And we went, and I met some people that are really, really good friends of mine today that had several years clean back then. First of them was Sean G. I met, and we talked there for a little bit, and we walked around. You know, he was introducing me to other people, and he asked when we got away a little bit there. He said, well, did you get Sean's phone number? I said, well, no, I don't know him. He said, well, go get his number. So I went back and got his phone number. He ended up getting a few numbers there by his direction, and you know, a week or two later, we were back at the meeting hall, and he said, well, how's old Sean doing? Sean? Who's in the hell Sean? Sean, you met him over at the Boonville meeting. Oh, yeah. And you got his number? Yeah. Well, how's he doing? I don't know. Well, you got his number to use it. And it was just a lead by example type thing. He took me from the get-go, and he carried me through chairing a meeting. He carried me through outside meetings. He carried me through meeting people, the ability to ask for somebody's fucking number, and then to use that number. It was just stuff that he'd experienced in the past. He took me through his experience of step one. I mean, everything was, it just felt like a team effort, like we were just doing things together. And it was exactly what I needed, because I was not somebody whenever I came in here to take directions. As a matter of fact, I got involved in this just because I had similarities with a girl that shared at the rehab that I was in. She basically told my story, and I went into that meeting hall. Because the only information she'd give me after she spoke was, look, this is where I got what I got. She'd give me an address and a meeting schedule, what time they meet. So I showed up there thinking, you know, I'll see this chick. And she's kind of cute, too, you know. You know, maybe we could hook up and I could get the information that I need. Well, I went to 99 fucking meetings before I saw this gal again, but... Yeah, I just felt, I just kept coming. Maybe I'd see her and I'd get the information as to how to have a relationship with my daughter that was the same age as her daughter that I hadn't talked to in 9 years. So that's what led me to even getting involved in this program and asking somebody to sponsor me. I don't think that I could have gotten anything out of a pamphlet or a book that would have given me what I got from that. I know we hear a lot of times in meetings now, a sponsor is a guide through the steps, and it just ends there. That's true. You know, a sponsor is a guide through the steps. For me, it was a guide through the steps. It was a guide through the traditions. We even talked about the concepts, but he thought that, you know, he was older, came along years later. He said those came along later. And he said, I don't know that I completely can agree with those. And he said, you can't find them in the basic text, so... He said, I pretty well stick with the steps and traditions, and that's what I've stuck with. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those, but that's just the experience that I've got. I know that being a sponsor myself, you know, I tried the best I could, but even with the leadership that I had, I still felt like when the first person asked me to sponsor him, I had about a year clean, just like was shared, and... I felt like I had to have the answers. You know what I mean? When something was going on, I felt like I had to be able to tell them how to fix it or what was going on and all this other shit that I had no idea about. And I tried. I tried hard. I felt like, you know, they needed my guidance. I had answers that would help them get to where I was at. You know, they could stay clean too. They could get this thing just like I was getting it. You know, the whole spiritual awakening thing. It just simply doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, the first sponsee that I ever had, we worked through 7 steps together. He had almost 5 years clean. He picked up a 5-year key tag, but he didn't. He ended up confessing to me later that he relapse right before he picked up 5 years. Well, his relapse kept him out for another year, and he didn't make it back. And just like what's already been shared, I mean, I felt I wanted to be done with it. Yeah, I felt like, yeah, there's no way I could be a sponsor. I was a complete failure at it, you know. And I was mad at him, too. He wouldn't fucking listen, you know. You know, that was the whole thing about it. But looking back, I realized that I didn't do the things that I was taught to do, the things that were done for me. Yeah, I didn't go up front and sit with him to chair a meeting, his first meeting. I asked him to chair a meeting. Yeah, I didn't ask him to go on a road trip with me to visit other groups. Yeah, I told him asphalt recovery was a good thing. It was a great experience for me, and I suggested that he did it. Yeah, all the little things that I was shown, that I was taught, yeah, it just, I was really grateful at the time that I was getting that, but I didn't see how it was happening and everything that was going on and how it was working for me. I mean, I just knew that I had done it and it worked real well, but I was still so selfish, I thought it was just the fact that I did it. Now you do it and you'll get the same result. I completely overlooked the fact that I had somebody that cared about me, that wanted to help me in my recovery, that was there side by side in every damn thing that I was doing. And I didn't fulfill that part. I wouldn't be in the side by side experiencing these things and sharing the experiences that I'd gotten. And this is not something that I learned right after he passed. This is something that it took for me years. I'm just not as fast a learner as, you know, a lot of people. Some of y'all hear it said and y'all just got this shit. That's not me. I have to go through some experience and some pain in order for stuff to sink in. For me today, it's really important. If I get a new sponsee, especially whenever they get a couple of months clean, I want them to get involved. I want them to chair a meeting. But just like anybody that asks me today, I tell them all, I think the most important thing is to make as many meetings as you can honestly make. And I believe that in my heart. That's my first effort. That's my first step. That's my pre-first step. That's for me to put forth some kind of effort. And if I'll just do that, I don't have to say a word. I don't have to believe this shit works. I don't have to do anything. Just come set my ass in a chair. And somebody's going to say something that I relate to. And that's going to change my whole world. It did for me. I mean, somebody, I'm different. You know, I did more dope than you. I can't be helped. Or you know, you're just way past where I was at, dude. I don't need this. Every level that you could possibly be, I was different. But somewhere along the line, somebody, if I set enough meetings, going to open their mouth and they're going to tell part of my story, and it's going to be, motherfucker, I'll be damned. And they're clean, maybe clean for several years. And they overcame that. And then that's where my hope sparks. And with that leadership, you know, I can take that so much further. I can, there's more to it than just my home group. You know, like that first meeting that I went to, I'll have to read this because there's no way in hell I can remember all this, but this is what spawned from that first meeting in Boonville, Mississippi, to see where he chaired his first meeting. This is a list of meetings that I've been to. This does not count conventions. This does not count going to hear a speaker speak at a place. It doesn't count area meetings that I went to at groups. It doesn't count regional meetings that I've been to at groups or anything else. This is just me walking in naked to a meeting that I've never been to before and sit down and have that meeting. This is my list. Amory, Mississippi, there's two meetings there that I went to. Tupelo, Mississippi, there's two meetings there that I went to. New Orleans, Louisiana, there's two meetings there that I went to. Scottsdale, Arizona, there's a meeting there that I went to. Key Largo, Florida, it's in a tiki hut. That was awesome as shit. Pontotoc, Mississippi. Two meetings there that I went to. One of them was in an old shed. I had a chair about as wide as this thing right here that's scrunched up into the corner. It's a good meeting, though. Great meeting. Elkhart, Indiana. There's two meetings there that I went to. Mishawaka, Indiana. One meeting there. South Bend, Indiana. There's three meetings there that I've been to. Buchanan, Michigan. A meeting there. Niles, Michigan, two meetings there. They met in the basement of churches a lot in Michigan. Pawpaw, Michigan. They talk funny up there, but I went to a meeting there. Dowagiac, Michigan. It's Some of these places are hard to pronounce. Edwardsburg, Michigan. Cassopolis, Michigan. Bering Springs, Michigan. Benton Harbor, Michigan. Biloxi, Mississippi. There's three meetings there that I've attended. Pascagoula, Mississippi. Henderson, Tennessee. There's two meetings there that I've attended. Nashville, Tennessee. Birmingham, Alabama. Meridian, Mississippi. Jackson, Mississippi. West Point, Mississippi. Starkville, Mississippi. Oxford, Mississippi. There's two meetings there. One of them was at the college. Florence, Alabama, three meetings there. Scottsboro, Alabama. Decatur, Alabama. Huntsville, Alabama. Pulaski, Tennessee. Hohenwald, Tennessee. Loretta, Tennessee. Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Haleville, Alabama. Boonville, Mississippi. Corinth, Mississippi, two of them. Miami, Florida. Stevensville, Michigan. Santa Rosa, Florida. And the last three, this is in the order that I've attended these meetings. The last three is kind of odd to me. They stand out. Madison, Indiana, went to a meeting there. Madison, Tennessee. The next meeting that I went to, this was a few time in between there, but whenever I saw that, I realized I haven't even been to a meeting in Madison, Alabama, so I turned around and went to a meeting in Madison, Alabama. So Madison, Indiana, Madison, Tennessee, and Madison, Alabama were the last road trips that I made. But that's just something that my sponsor started with me that's become a part of me, and I keep track of that just because, I don't know, it's become a part of me, and I really enjoy that. And I enjoy reading that list. I mean, every one of those that I go over, if I think about that meeting hall, I can remember exactly the meeting hall, and there was somebody that I met at that damn meeting that I know from somewhere else. Matter of fact, that sponsee that I had with, I'm going to say 5 years clean, that is no longer with us, I met him in Pawpaw, Michigan. Same belt buckle. Dressed the same height, little bitty fella. Had the same little country accent. I mean, everywhere I go, there we are. And that's just this place. That's just Narcotics Anonymous. And I've never been to a bad meeting. Never. I've never gone into a meeting that I didn't walk out of there feeling better. And, I got that from sponsorship. And, I strive now to be able to pass something like that on to somebody else. And I've got a few sponsees now. I've got one that's out of town. I'm hoping he's going to make it up here today. Well, actually, I've got two out of town. One of them is in Auburn, Alabama. He started out in Florence whenever I started sponsoring him. And he moved to Auburn for a job. And I suggested that he get a sponsor where he's at. But he had a year clean, and we were about halfway through the steps. And he said, look, if it ain't broke, I'm not going to fix it. He said, if you're willing, he said, we'll just keep this going. And if he makes it to June, the second, he'd have 4 years clean. So I'm really proud of him. I've got another one that's in Dowagiac, Michigan. And I've stressed that he get a sponsor up there several times, but he's in the same shape. But I got that sponsor whenever I was living in Michigan. Our sponsee. And it works well. I mean, I don't know how, I don't know, can't explain it, but there's a tie between us that helps me. And I guess whenever I'm feeling helped, it kind of, that's part of that two-way street. If I feel like I'm getting help from you, then apparently you're feeling like you're getting something from me too. I don't think it can work any other way. I don't know. I mean, I love my sponsor to death today. He's 80 years old. You don't want me telling that. He don't get to come to meetings anymore. His health is not the best in the world. I talk to him every single day. And it's hard sometimes. I go see him whenever I can, but his health just doesn't allow a lot. And, that's hard because this man has got me through a divorce. He's got me through the loss of sponsees. He's got me through the loss of a wife. It is what it is. That's his simple little thing that brings the whole world back into reality, or my whole world back into reality. No matter what I want it to be or think it should be, it is what it is. And that's what I have to deal with. I have to deal with things the way they are rather than the way I wish they were, or could have hopefully made them, or whatever. I know that whenever I was going through the loss of the hardest losses that I had, my dad and Courtney, I'd call him squalling, crying, cussing, raising three kinds of hell. And yeah, he would just listen. And whenever I would calm down just a little bit, he'd always tell me the same thing. He said, "We've made it this far. We'll make it just a little bit further." And I think that's probably been the biggest thing that I've gotten out of sponsorship myself, is that that inspiration, that there's always been somebody there for me that I knew if I stumbled, they were going to catch me. I knew that if I had trouble, I knew that if things were beyond what I felt like I could handle at the time, we've come this far. There was always that we. There was never just I had to battle this shit on my own. We've made it this far. We'll make it just a little bit further. And just like what Amber shared, it doesn't come to that without my effort. Yeah, my effort was picking up the phone and calling my sponsor every day. That was the one thing that he told me I could do, so I did that. I called him every damn day. And that's what formed the relationship. That's what got him to be my sponsor, I feel like. Of course, I did do one thing wrong. I mean, I'd called the guy. He was an older guy. He drove a truck. So he went to bed early because he could get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go do his route and all this other stuff. I say he was older. He's 10 years older than I was, but he was an old guy. I wasn't. anyway, called him every day, and I didn't believe any of this crap. I was really more out to prove all this stuff wrong, that it was bullshit, that you really didn't care. I called this guy. It was early in the morning, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and he answered. And I was like, damn. And the first thing out of his mouth was, "Are you okay? Where are you?" And I hadn't known the guy but maybe a month. I just asked him to be my sponsor, and he basically turned me down. He said, "Just call me." Well, I did. And "Where are you?" "Dude, I'm at home, man. I'm okay. I'm sorry. I was just being a dick." And he said, "Where's home? Where's that at?" I said, "I'm an hour and a half, hour and 5 minutes from you." He said, "Well, just send me the address. I'm on my way." No. I mean, I had to talk this guy on the phone for like 30 minutes to convince him that I was okay. "Don't drive this far, man. I am so sorry. I was just being an asshole." But it changed at that point. I felt like, this guy really does give a shit whether I stay clean or not. And, that's probably the most important thing that I'd like to pass on to somebody else. Because I really do. I've had that life. I came into this program, I had one flip-flop, a pair of shorts, and a t-shirt, and I was living in a park in Tupelo. Hell, I'd been the suicide attempts. I'd been picked up as a body. I didn't know this, but the guy that actually wouldn't give up on me, the paramedic in the ambulance, he told me the story later whenever I met him. But they couldn't find a pulse. They picked me up as a body, but one guy swore up and down that he felt my pulse hit one time in the ambulance, and he wouldn't quit. He just kept on and kept on. And yeah, I'm standing here today because of him. But I know that there's more than me today that has felt that way before. And it'd really be nice if somewhere along the line that I could pass on what my sponsor passed on to me, that I do care about whether or not you make it. I do care about whether you feel that way or not. And I mean, the rest of the story is my wife committed suicide from this disease. She went back out, and she couldn't face coming back. As hard as I tried, I couldn't convince her. And it's just I don't know. It takes effort for me to get this. I've got to put forth the effort. For you to get this, you've got to put forth the effort. I can't give it to you as much as I want to. That's just not the way that it works. And it's like the harder I try to give it to you, the more you'll resist. And that's exactly what my sponsor was teaching me in the beginning. And exactly what I learned from my first sponsor. I was trying to give to him by asking him to just go do this. I did it. It worked good for you. Just go do it. You need to experience this. But it's more with sponsorship, we need to experience this together. And I think that's the reason it's the backbone of the program. And it's a we thing. That's the biggest word. There is no more I. It's a we thing. And I get lazy. I've gotten lazy over the years, and I overlook that. And I just want to give assignments, or I just want to, you know, give directions or suggestions or whatever. And I drift away from let's do. You know, let's do this. Let's go chair that meeting. And it was simple back then. Is meet me at the meeting hall an hour early. We'll get there, and he said, let's mop and clean this place up. He said, let's have it smelling nice when everybody shows up. We'll have the chairs out, and just simple things like that. That if, whether anybody knows it or not, I felt good when we did that. I got time with him, and it meant something. You know, I was putting forth some kind of effort. So, I don't know. I'll start rambling if I keep on. But I think if you hadn't got a sponsor, you're pretty well fucked. But if you get one, yeah, it could work out. But it's not going to work out just on them alone. I mean, it's a team thing. It's a we. I've got to put in my part. And my sponsees have to put in their part. And I've realized that as much as I wanted to save Tony's life, as much as I wanted him to get it, it was up to him to put in his part too. I mean, we can do it together. I can't do it alone. So, love y'all.
Amber, you want to come finish up? I'm just kidding. I think we're supposed to open up for questions or comments right now. So if you have any questions for Amber or Brian, I don't know if you guys want to come up here to address them or just stay up in your seats. They did ask if we could repeat the questions. So does anyone want to open up sharing questions?
I'm EJ. I'm an A. Okay, I sponsor, like my first sponsor, okay, like I'm fixing a dump, so y'all just get ready. My first sponsor, she and I were together for almost 2 years, and it was awesome, okay? She relapsed in her mind, went back to old behavior, and I knew I needed to do something for me before I followed the pattern she was going down. Right? So, I did. Now, this sponsor is going through her own shit. I just recently lost my mom. Like, I've been through some pain this year. Like, a lot of pain. Loss of job, change of job, loss of home, change of home. Lost my mom, and then 2 weeks ago, I lost my son. Okay, so like this has been happening in just a 1 year span. Okay, my sponsor I have now, look, and it's not that it ain't a team effort. When I lost my mom, she was there, but it was all I. Okay, I'm a coper because I'm an addict. I adapt to what's going on in my life. You know what I mean? I can adapt to it. Okay, so then my son dies. I'm in a fucking world of awe. She comes into mine in my roommate's kitchen, and she's I. And I looked at my roommate. That's how I'm getting in the shower. Okay, she and I have it's our sponsor, okay? We're sponsee sisters, okay? And I get out of the shower, and I said, well, where'd she go? She said, I took care of that problem. I said, thank you. Okay. I'm trying because I need my sponsor. My sponsor, I begged her to come here with me. She's upstairs in the room because she had to eat, but we were going to come in here together. And I don't know if that's God doing for me what I can't do for myself because I need to share this shit. Okay? Now, that's some real, real stuff. I needed this weekend because I'm in a dark place from losing my son to this disease. His disease kicked in and he took his life. He went outside and hung himself in a tree. He did the ultimate change. He just couldn't take the shit no more. You know? And I need this. And you know what's the beautiful thing is that this motherfucker's out of darkness into the light. And that's why I've had him so I'm in such a dark fucking place. And this other chick, man, Jamie, like, she's got something I want. Yet I'm in my feelings because I don't want to hurt her. And to her, like, I'm not getting something. And then I listen to you tell everybody, like, don't, you know, it's a two-way thing. But when's enough's enough? Because at the end of the day, it's about my recovery. And I take my shit for real, you know? Because I was that bitch that ate out of the dumpsters. You know what I'm saying? And today I fucking drive a 2024 Fusion. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? From a bicycle to that. Okay? I'm from living on the streets to in college to a damn fucking $20 an hour job. And I did that within 4 years. God got a plan. And it's something bigger, opportunities all the time, but I crave and need my sponsor because she's my guiding light. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'm so lost because this is a wee thing, not a fucking me thing. Okay, I feel better.
Thank you. I'm glad you're better.
Sorry, you answer that. Okay, yeah.
That's why we're here, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Anybody else?
I'm D. I'm an addict.
Hey.
In the last few months, I've just started sponsoring.
Come on up.
You get the full effect.
What do you do with that?
I've just started sponsoring people in the last few months, and I've picked up two sponsees in the last 3 months. Each of them, after I picked them up, went back out within a week and ended up in jail. And I spent a lot of time in jail and prison myself. So are there any suggestions as to what my role is as far as while they're incarcerated? The only thing I've taken phone calls from both of them, and I just made the suggestions of the program. That's what I know. Money and all these other things, as far as that goes, I know how I was when I was in there. I could stay high in jail. And so I'm sort of torn as far as what the lines are. I've talked to my sponsor about this, of course, and you know he agrees or suggests, you know, just stay with the recovery thing and see where that goes. And see if they do that and call me with recovery questions and stay in the, you know, solution. But are there any suggestions that you might have as to what, how to make myself available to them while they're incarcerated?
Hey, I'm Brian the Addict. I had the same experience with my son. Actually getting incarcerated. Spent 5 years in prison twice. And it's hard, especially, I guess, whenever it's that close. But the first trip around, I sent him money, and I tried, I think, to make up for mistakes that I've made in the past. It may not be the best example, but I kind of flooded him with attention and money and whatever he asked for while he was in there. Well, after that 5 year stint, he got out, and 9 months later, he stole a gun and got caught with paraphernalia and precursor. And got another 10 years that he served 5 years of. Well, the second time around, I didn't do anything but accept his call, tell him I love him. And I'm here whenever you get out. It was just a simple truth about it. You know, it's like basically, you know, you did this, this is your consequences. I didn't actually say those words, but I just want him to understand that I love you. And I want your life to be different, but whatever it is, you know, as long as you're happy. And I still have that relationship with him today. Whenever he got out that time, that was 5 years ago, he had to go back. He just chose to do different things than what he was doing the same because, you know, jail was jail. It wasn't, getting high and having the money to buy candy bars or whatever the hell he wanted when he was in there. And he's talked to me about that as long as I know about it. But I think as a sponsor and a sponsee, I don't think going to jail or even a ride to a meeting or any of that stuff is on a sponsor's responsibility. I mean, I kind of take the seventh tradition into heart of that. I mean, we have to be self-supporting, you know, especially after we come around for a little while. And our consequences are our consequences. If we don't pay them, if my sponsor or my brother or my mom or my dad, you know, if they're paying my consequences, I'm gonna stay in the same rut. I just, I like to reassure people that, you know, I do care, but, you know, I can't change your circumstances. That's up to you. So, I love y'all.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have a question.
My name's Joe, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Joe.
I don't know why everyone thinks I say John. Every meeting I go to, they all say, hey, hi, John. But, so you, I don't know if you said as well, but you were talking about long distance sponsorship. Have you found that hard at times? Or just, I mean, I know the technology now, we can FaceTime each other, but I just always kind of wondered about that, like how that would work as far as you're not seeing the person daily, like you don't really know if, you know, you want to take them at their word, what they're telling you they're doing is true, but like, are they bullshit? Like, do you just kind of just roll with it or what, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. The two that I deal with, fortunately, I got to know them for about a year before the separation came. You know, we worked together a year before that happened. So now, I mean, I do still suggest that they get somebody that's there, but, you know, all I can do is trust them for what they say. Both of them's reasoning part is, though, if it's not broke, I don't want to fix it. And I use that myself. And I only use that whenever I really felt like it was working. And I don't think anybody that's struggling is going to say that. But that's just something that I get from them. The bottom line is, just like what I've already shared, it's truly up to the person, especially if they're new, to put forth the effort and get something going. I think my role in that early on is just to reassure and let them know that it's possible and that I do care. And that I want you to make this, and I know you can, but you know, their effort is kind of out of my control. I don't really suggest it, but I got into the situation, like I say, after a year of experience with them. But as far as a cold call and wanting a sponsor, I mean, chances are I'm going to know somebody that knows somebody in that area if I don't know somebody in that area.
Shy.
Oh, I'm Amber and I'm an addict.
Hey, Amber.
I find it most difficult at times because I do not get to see them. And then when I tell them to, we're going to have a closer connection than just say with her. Because I would get to see her every day, so I need to at least hear your voice, a text, and whenever I don't, it's kind of fucked up because then I start to worry. But, you know, they're gonna start to live, you know, supposedly a productive life. The one she did relapse, and the other one she started an NA meeting in her area because there wasn't one. So I mean, it can flourish or it can. I told them both to get sponsors in their area, but just like Brian says, they think it's okay. I see other people do it, but it's going to be their effort. I mean, there's only so much I can do, obviously. So.
Cool.
Glad you're here.
No, thank you.
Anyone else? We got a few minutes.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, I don't remember your name. I'm sorry. I'm like that. EJ?
EJ.
EJ? I just want to say thank you for sharing what you shared. There's a lot of me in that. The same thing happened with my wife. And I don't have any answers on how to deal with it. I cried and prayed a lot.
Yeah.
I cussed God and didn't understand why in the fuck. Shit was happening the way it was happening. I asked what the hell you want from me. But it was just all really real, everything that came out of me. But I think the biggest thing was do what you just did, talk about it. Just keep getting it out. Anybody do this, nobody doesn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I'm glad you're here.
Glad you're here.
You're supposed to stand out there where the computer records you, man.
I twisted my ankle, is what I can say.
He has a hard time recording you out here. Where's Amber at? Is she done went off?
You got to get up earlier.
Huh?
Jim Bob, you should have been here earlier.
Well, I forgot that she was doing this.
We had a question segment.
You got a question segment. I asked my question, where is Amber at? I guess I have to buy the tape or the CD if I can hear it.
You guys all good?
Yeah.